Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today are two guest hosts, Mr. Kevin Brownfield and Dr. Wynn Kimbrough. Guys, it's always a pleasure to have you here. You're no strangers to the broadcast. Thank you for coming to be with us this morning. We've got our Bibles and we've got some coffee and we're sitting around talking about the cosmic conflict that is raging around us and how the Lord has made a way for us to have spiritual victory in that conflict. And maybe we can just recap for the listeners who are joining us and who maybe didn't get to hear the first two broadcasts in our series. We have been talking about a conflict that has been going on that is very real around us. And we've observed that most people don't really even recognize that they're in a war.
Well, Satan is the enemy. And, you know, I think sometimes when you say cosmic conflict, it makes it seem in the minds of some people there could be the mistake that, well, that is a warfare that doesn't apply to me personally. That, okay, it's distant, it's in the heavenlies, it's in some other part of the world where there's all kinds of satanic influence. But is it really something I have to deal with? We know that we sin, we know that we're tempted, but we don't really bring it down home and recognize the source of all of that. Like you said in the previous broadcast, that ultimately it is a hateful vengeance against God that Satan is battling. But, you know, even though we're incidental, we are the ones that are right now a part of that warfare that's going on.
You know, we have such a tendency to think of things in logistical dynamics, and we think like there's a war over here, a war over there. But I love what Paul says in this text we're examining. We're wrestling, but this whole conflict is not a geographical thing. This conflict is a spiritual thing, which puts us in a whole different dimension. It doesn't matter what level of the kingdom of God, or it doesn't matter where you are in your journey, you are being attacked because it's not geographical. It is a spiritual war.
Yes, not global warming, it's global warring.
And you know what? I think that's exactly what we need to focus in on. You know, as I was kind of trying to work through this in my own mind, I found it helpful to think about it in this way. This is a cosmic conflict in a spiritual realm that has global implications, and there are local expressions of this battle that involve me all of the time. So it kind of takes us into the whole, okay, here's the big picture. This is a cosmic conflict, and it is of global dimensions in a spiritual realm, but there are local implications. There are local battles that take place all of the time. And again, you think about World War II as maybe an illustration of this. World War II was a conflict that involved most of the major countries of the world. Mm. And there were some of those countries that were in that war, and the war never even reached their shores. Mm-hmm. But there were people who were injured in that conflict from those continents, and those continents were seriously affected by the war.
Well, that is what brings it home. I mean, whenever you take it and kind of bring it down to that level, that takes it down to me because I do have a spiritual dimension about my life, as all people do. And so that means that every single one of us need to understand what's going on and need the application of what's going to help us be able to be victorious. If this is, you know, cosmic, global, and personal, then it comes to a place where I know I have to do something about this because I am involved in warfare. I didn't choose it, but I'm in it.
You know, it's interesting. December 6, 1941, America basically had the mindset that this isn't our war. December 7th happened. December 8th, more people joined the armed forces than ever in the history of the United States of America because all of a sudden they recognized the personal dimension of the warfare, that it wasn't just this conflict going on out there. Now it was real and it was ours and we engaged in the conflict.
You know, when you wake up to the reality of this battle is when Satan gets one of your kids. Or Satan gets your friend, or Satan gets your spouse. And then all of a sudden you wake up and it's like, you know what, we really are in a war. Uh-oh, this war is getting close. It hit. You know, or maybe, you know, somebody in your church that you've loved and you've cared about, all of a sudden they're not there anymore. And the reason is they fell into sin. They were church disciplined or something of that nature. All of a sudden you wake up and you realize, hey, this war isn't far away. It isn't over, you know, on the other side of the ocean. It's right here in my neighborhood. It's right here in my church. Somebody got taken out that I know. Somebody got taken out in my family.
And it's sad that we need something like that to motivate us to the battle when we've already been given the heads up that the battle's here.
Well, and the warning there is not only that there is a defeated person that we know, we could be next. We do have to live with that. We kind of have said that in previous broadcasts, but this is so personal, and Satan is so powerful. And again, we know we have what it takes to be victorious. But I could say today, and all of us have grieved and wept over people that we love when there's been that failure. But we also have to remember, you know what? It could be me. Like they say, except for the grace of God, there go I. At any given moment, I could be the one, and we are susceptible. And Satan, you know, his battle plan, I think, fits these categories in these areas. But we don't want to have the false notion that we couldn't be next.
Well, I think maybe what we ought to do as we kind of move the broadcast forward a bit here, we've been talking about the pervasive conflict and why the conflict is there and where it takes place. Let's for a minute talk about the powerful enemy that is against us, because Paul talks about that in Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So what does God want us to know about our enemy? I mean, any good soldier in a battle is going to at least want to know who his enemy is, what his strength is, and what tactics he uses.
Well, that list that you just gave makes me feel very weak. You know, the things that you just read from Ephesians 6, verse 12, we wrestle against flesh, blood, principalities, powers, rulers, darkness, spiritual wickedness in high place. I mean, all of that makes me feel very puny and weak whenever you use those kinds of terms.
You know, we have a tendency to think of our enemy as one, that is just Satan, and we usually in our conversation, that's who we direct it to, and he is the head of the principalities and powers. But the truth of it is, when you look at this list Paul gives, this is highly organized. This is incredibly broad, what we're up against.
Well, let's talk about those principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and the spiritual wickedness. What is Paul talking about here?
Well, I think that whenever you take a look at that, for one thing, it does give us the part of the knowledge that's necessary for us to be aware about the conflict and about some of the power of it. But it also starts giving us insight about where that battle is being waged. There's a heavenly battle, and then there is a personal battle that Satan wages against us. We, again, talked about this a little bit in a previous broadcast, but I think that whenever I start understanding that Satan has ways and means of doing harm, doing damage to me, he's trying to overthrow the authority of God in my life. And so he's going to use the tactics that make me fail, that make me resist the authority of God in my life. And he doesn't care how he does it. You know, it may be drugs for one person and morals for another person and money for another person or whatever, but he's got all these things. And so categorically, I think we're beginning to understand that Satan has this warfare that's coming at us from a lot of different directions.
What do you make of the phrase flesh and blood when he says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood?
You know, the conflict that we are fighting is not one that we can go take some kind of a physical weapon and use. This is a spiritually driven conflict. It's a spiritual thing. So, I mean, we can't pick up some kind of a weapon here and swing it. This is something that is totally spiritually driven. It's not flesh and blood.
In other words, our enemy is not made up of flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So who are our enemies? If our enemies are not flesh and blood, if they're not human, who are our enemies?
Well, I think part of what Paul is focusing on in verse 12 is that the forces of evil are powerful. And the power that they have, it's in a spiritual realm. It's the power of deception. It's the power of luring us away. And I think our enemies are those demonic hordes, those demonic forces that with Satan went at the Great Rebellion. So that's, and we don't have any idea how many there are.
So would you agree, Gwen, that verse 12 is talking about our enemy, and it's primarily getting us to look at these created beings that we would call angels?
Yeah, the ones that resisted God, and then we see them as the demons. And again, I think that what Paul is helping us be aware of is that there is a spiritual conflict that's going on. And since I am a person with a spiritual side, that I'm engaged in this conflict. And so whatever
my enemy, enemy are these angelic beings. And we're going to find out some things about these angelic beings. One of the things we're going to find out is that they're powerful and they're numerous. So what are angels like?
in whenever I think of angels, I mean, the kind of angels we normally think of is, you know, the angel on my shoulder and angel in my pocket. And
little tiny angels.
Right. And they have wings and they protect us and all
like
that.
They're male forms of Tinkerbell.
Yeah, exactly. But when we talk about the warfare of Satan and his demonic angelic host and their power and their resources against us, I think that we have to be aware that he is taking all the means around us. And again, sometimes it could be things that seemingly are innocent, used by them against us, then they become like something that is very powerful that are making us very, very susceptible to defeat.
You know, when we think about the biblical picture of angels, they are awesome, majestic creatures. Mm-hmm. Isaiah saw a few of them and mm-hmm. fell flat on his face mm-hmm. in just sheer wonder and terror. You know, he described him as fire with mm-hmm. six wings. And mm-hmm. Ezekiel saw a bunch of them. Remember mm-hmm. the picture mm-hmm. of Ezekiel?
Yeah.
And here is this incredibly majestic creature that's got... He's got a face on every side of his head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where his feet are, there are these huge wheels that have eyes all around the rims of those wheels. You know, the pictures that we have of angels, like you said, are the little angel on my shoulder. If we ever saw a real angel in his glory, mm-hmm. not a human manifestation of one, but as God designed him and created him, we would just be completely awestruck. It would just completely devastate.
And one
us.
Of the things that in my mind really begins to cause me to question as I'm facing this warfare is that Satan can show himself as an angel of light. You know, we think about the horror movies
yeah.
and how they always show demons. Well, it's not necessarily that dynamic because they have great ability to persuade and to draw.
How many angels did God create?
Innumerable is not a number that we have a knowledge of.
Are we going to argue about how many fit on the head?
No. I mean, I'm going somewhere with that question because however many angels God created, there was a finite number of them.
Right.
We may not be able to number them because there's so many, but there was a finite number of them, and we do know how many fell.
Mm-hmm.
A third of that number.
Right.
So we have a huge, huge force against us.
And they're highly organized because this passage lends us to understand that they had different positions
right.
in the battle.
There's a hierarchy here. There's principalities and powers and rulers. So this is a highly structured demonic army of immense size and power, and they're characterized as wicked. But that'll be the topic for our next broadcast. Until then, may the Lord bless you.